Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Time to take back control of your life and start making choices based on what your true self and intuition are telling you. Welcome to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Cisco. If you are one of the many people that deserve a better life and more fulfillment than what they are living now, the next hour will be enlightening, inspirational, and above all, will provide the direction you need. Now, here is your host, Regina Cisco.
Hello, I'm your host, Regina Cisco, and welcome to my show, Shining Bright, A Journey from Self-Doubt to Self-Worth. I'd like to start the show by sharing one of my personal stories that will inspire you and give you food for thought. Since we are doing a show today on animal communication, I want to share a story about my beloved kitty, Halo. She was my first cat, my first pet. My roommate in college had brought a cat to live with us, and soon after, she had kittens. Halo was a long-haired tortoiseshell cat. A tortoise-colored cat is dark, multicolored, brown, black, and orange. She was just beautiful and definitely a one-person cat. She could handle my college roommate, but not anyone else. If a friend came over for a visit, she would hiss and try to scratch them. She had her own personality and comfort zone. She rode with me back and forth from college to my parents' visits. She moved with me when I got married in my 20s. She moved with me again when I got divorced. I'm not sure how I convinced her to let me give her a bath and dry her, but she did. I'm sure I had less skin afterwards. When I moved to Paris, France, she moved in with my mom and brother. And when she was ill and in her transition, I had come back for France for a visit, and I was with her when she passed. She was 19. She was the best companion ever. She would always curl up with me at night and sleep with me. Our pets give so much love and tenderness. During the times in my life when I was sad or depressed, she was there, and I wasn't alone. Many years later, I went to a presentation with an animal communicator who invited our pets who had crossed over into a meditation, as well as all of the animal kingdom. Wow, that was an amazing experience. I was able to feel my little Halo's essence and presence again, and the deep, unconditional love that we felt for each other. It was such a gift. I am able to connect with her now and feel her sweet, loving energy, and it's still a gift. Today, my husband and I have four cats, and that's our family now, and a whole other adventure. How have your pets enriched your life and brought you joy? How lucky we are to have had them with us or to have them now. And now, it's time to breathe. If you'd like to join me, follow along. We're going to take three deep breaths in and out. And I'm taking a deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. And take another deep breath in and slowly breathe out through your mouth. And once more, take a slow deep breath in and slowly breathe out through your mouth. My show today is called Loving Your Animals. My guest today is Kate Felispi, professional animal communicator. And let me tell you a little bit about her. Kate is an internationally known speaker, author, and educator, has been a professional animal communicator, communicating telepathically with animals since 1992. She works with individual animal guardians, trainers, and holistic veterinarians, assisting in solving behavioral problems, understanding health problems, healing past traumas, and facilitating understanding between humans and non-humans. Kate is a recognized authority and sought-after speaker on dog and cat nutrition and diet planning. Since 1997, she has taught people how to make healthy, balanced meals for their companions. In addition to working daily with companion animals, Kate has worked with wild animals, learning about their interrelationships and their roles in balancing the earth. She has also participated in projects developing energetic healing modalities for animals. For more information on her services and products, go to her website at akinshipwithanimals.com. You can call her at 303-834-9150 or email her at kinshipent, that's K-I-N-S-H-I-P-E-N-T, at earthlink.net for more information. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you, Regina. Thank you so much. And thanks, too, for sharing your story about Halo. That was just lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought the piece about the presentation I went to would sound slightly familiar to you.
Yes. That, how long ago was that, Regina?
That was, I'm not sure how long ago. It was several years ago. But that was a presentation that you gave at Mile High Church.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was a presentation about, you know, sharing your experiences with all the animals. But that was really such a profound evening for me that night, that something that I'll just never forget.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm so pleased that it touched you so deeply and that you were able to connect again with Halo in that sweet space that the two of you shared for all those years.
Yes, yes, indeed. So when you call in the animals like that, is that like a powerful experience for you every time you do it?
It is. It's an extraordinary experience because I open them up, I open my heart and invite them to join us in the room. And in order to prepare for that, I usually ask everyone in the room to, I loved how you started with the breathing. You know, that was a lovely way to get people in their bodies, help us all breathe and get into our bodies when we're so busy. So one thing is to get everyone in their bodies, in their heart space, and to then invite the animals to come and join us. And it's lovely to do that in a kind of a sacred space, which that space really was. They do so much beautiful energetic work there that it just created a wonderful conduit that I think took everyone to a very spiritual place, so that the animals, both wild and all of our beloveds in form and out of form, felt welcomed and made it very easy for them to join us there. It was a beautiful, beautiful combination of energy.
Yeah, it sure was. I really like that sacred space because that really connects it for me because it just was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to get started, Kate, and I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about your background and about your ability to communicate with animals. Was that something you were born with, or did that you cultivate that over time?
Well, a little bit of both. It was something that I was born with. Some of my earliest recollections are of sitting in the garden. I grew up in suburban New Jersey, and I would, very young, I would sit outside and just listen and experience what I thought was a normal sense of connection between myself and the natural world around me. And I did, though, understand and perceive, though, that many of the human beings around me were not in that space. I perceived it as it's kind of a door closed in their minds where they weren't open. My door was open, and that allowed me to easily be in that space. And so that's how I was when I was very young. You know, we had a cat when I was born. My parents had a cat, a black and white kitty named Hexie, because she had six toes on each of her front feet. And we weren't best buddies, because I think she found me to be quite the interloper. And, you know, crawling children, as eager as they are to touch animals, can sometimes be a little grabby. So I think she dealt with me in ways that were most comfortable to her. But she, as I got a little older and a little more able to control myself, she was, we became better friends. But it was the gift of from my dad, of an orange kitten when I was three, in November, that really, really changed my life, because he became my first, beloved friend and teacher. And so he and I had just magical times talking about all kinds of things, not just subjects that a little girl might be interested, but philosophical conversations about life and nature and humans and all of it. And but when he died, as for me, tragically, when I was six, I could not go on with my heart open that way. So I began to shut my heart down. And nobody believed me that I was, you know, hearing the animals. Nobody that I saw or could feel was tuned in that way. So it was just easier to protect myself and close it all down. So by the time I was eight, I had closed it down. So it really wasn't until my late 20s when I decided, or middle 20s, I guess, I decided to do some healing work around the usual stuff, my, you know, maybe rocky adolescent stuff, that I became aware that I had pushed a whole part of myself away, the feminine intuitive parts I had pushed away to fit in, to achieve, to, you know, be quote-unquote normal. But I was old enough then that I really felt I could reintegrate it and begin to be whole again, and that began my journey to restore what I had had as a child, and that was just, you know, it was the beginning of an incredibly wonderful, rewarding journey.
That's just perfect, and our timing is just right, because it's time to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
Shakespeare wrote, "There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy." Most of us don't give a second thought to higher planes or our existence. Tune in to Sacred Song Reiki with host Priscilla Gale. The program is a journey into spiritual and mystical discovery that you may have never known before. You'll open your mind to enlightened consciousness and to dynamic powers of healing. Sacred Song Reiki airs every Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking to animal communicator and author Kate Felicity about our relationship with animals. So, Kate, what do you and or the animals call us, the pet owners?
That's a good question. Nobody's ever asked me that before. Well, when the animals are speaking to the people that they love, they're, you know, occasionally they will refer to them as, you know, mom and dad, because that's how the humans really like to think of themselves as pet parents.
Mm-hmm.
They will sometimes address them by name. And to them, they just love us so unconditionally. I usually refer to animals as our beloveds. Well, we are their beloveds. So I think that would be the best way to say how they think of us.
Okay. And what about that concept of guardians? Is that part of that?
Oh, I like that. Yes. In fact, in Boulder, Colorado, and I believe there's a couple of places, maybe Marin County in California, it's actually a legal status of people are not pet owners, but pet guardians. And I think a guardian is a more respectful term than owners. And so I do try to use that and help people get used to that. The animals didn't actually refer to themselves that way. That was just a sign of respect. And actually, as I say, it has legal ramifications, guardian versus owner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that one, too. So, Kate, do our pets have a mission?
Oh, my. They certainly do. Animals have come to teach and to learn, just as we have. And the mission, it varies. It really does from animals to, or I should say animal-human partnerships. Many animals are more aware of our life's goals, if you will, you know, what our soul has set out to accomplish in this lifetime. And they may be more aware of it than we are, more consciously aware of it than we are. So they often are here to help us stay on our path. They will often come at times of difficulty. You were talking about Halo and how long she was with you. She was with you through a lot of transitions, mm-hmm. From college to your first marriage to your divorce. You know, those are big times. And then finally you traveling and really forming your life the way you wanted it to be. And she saw you through all that. And I find very often that animals that are very connected to us at a soul level come at very specific times to help us through those, either a challenging time, a time of great transition, or a time where we really need a little bit of support in taking our spiritual path.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's certainly true. And I think you had shared a story with me the other day about, with a funny story about the Great Dane.
Oh, yes.
If you could share that with us.
Yes. Zoe was a young, wonderful black and white Great Dane, you know, big, tall girl. And I was called in, her person, let's just call her Barbara. Barbara had called me because she was having a lot of difficulty with Zoe. Zoe was being quite destructive. She loved nothing better than to what we used to call TPing the house, which means, you know, on Mischief Night, you know, the member of the neighbors, the kids would TP the trees. Well, Zoe would TP the house, and her mom, and she would call her that, Barbara, you know, would come home and have a fit, and she would Zoe would redecorate, and so she's with other things too. So her person, Barb, called me in to you know, to get some help, because the things that she had always succeeded in doing with her other Great Danes weren't working with Zoe. So she asked me to come and help understand why was Zoe being so difficult, and destructive was the word that she used. So I arrived at the house, and Zoe was just the sweetest, cutest, very smart Great Dane who, you know, greeted me rambunctiously but not obnoxiously. And we came in, we sat in the living room, and it was one of my favorite moments, because Zoe, being a Great Dane, was not allowed on the couch, but she decided that she could perch on my lap. So she backed up to me as I was sitting down and perched her large bottom on my lap with her long legs, you know, on the floor. It was so cute. And so, but for a good back rub too, you know, a perfect back rub position. So while she was perched on my lap, and her person was sitting opposite her, you know, she described how difficult Zoe was being, and what happened was, we found out when we asked Zoe, so why are you doing this, Zoe? What's going on here? And Zoe said, and again, what I'm doing is I'm picking up her thoughts telepathically. I'm not hearing a voice. Many of us have seen the movie Dr. Doolittle with Eddie Murphy. I don't actually hear voices like that, or very rarely, but I do pick up their thoughts, their feelings, sensations, memories, if they wish to share those with me. And so when I say Zoe told me, what I'm hearing is, you know, what I'm getting is her thoughts coming into my mind.
Okay.
And what those thoughts told me was that she said, my mom needs to lighten up. She takes everything so very seriously, and she needs to learn how to play. Because the other thing, of course, Zoe would do when they'd go out for a walk is Zoe was, you know, wanted to engage Barb in play. You know, she didn't want to just walk. She wanted to chase around trees, and she wanted to play tag, and she wanted to play stick, and she just, you know, and so much of that was to get Barb to lighten up. And I didn't really know much about Barb. She was a retired school teacher. And I could tell that she kept a very, very neat house, you know, so that having this TP job was a big deal for her. But as Zoe continued to talk about play and joy and fun, and that was really what she came to teach her mom, Barb sat there and she looked at us and she said, you know, this is really interesting, because I've always had really easy Danes. They've just been very easy to train, easy to work with, and I was very busy. I was working at school. I was, you know, I had a very demanding job and administrative stuff and all this to do, and so the dogs were, you know, they just were peaceful and calm, so I could come home to that. And she said, but I'm retired, and now I have this dog that wants me to play. And she said, you know, but truthfully, I am very serious. She's absolutely right. I guess I'm, you know, I am kind of rigid, and it isn't easy for me to play. And it was a huge moment of awareness that dawned on Barb that she'd become so rigid that she was pretty brittle, and that it could have actually impacted her health in a very negative way. And she said, you know, I get this in a way I never would have understood if we hadn't asked Zoe why she was doing this. And so finally she said, well, I understand, and I will play more. And Zoe was just thrilled, just, you know, ran over, gave her mom a big kiss, came back, gave me a big kiss. I mean, just was thrilled. And they went on to have a wonderful, happy life together. And mom definitely lightened up and learned how to play. And that was Zoe's story.
That's just so great. You know, they really do teach us so much. And, you know, so with this whole relationship with them, Is there a way for us to be better guardians for them?
That's a very good question, too. Yes, there are. The first I would say is to be present. One of the things our animals teach us is how important the present moment is. They don't, unless they've been traumatized, they don't really think about the past. And they don't think about the future. They're right here, right now. And so, you know, that sandwich you have in your hand and that dog sitting there drooling by your side is not thinking, wouldn't it be nice if someday I could have a sandwich like that too? No. That sandwich tastes so good right now. I can taste and smell it. Oh, feel it going down, you know. That's right now. And so being present with our animals is very important. And so that's number one. Number two is acknowledging, you know, their unconditional love, how they help us calm down, how they help us play, how they help us smile, and I just love that. I mean, Lily and Simon, two of my kitties are, you know, Lily wants me to play ribbon first thing in the morning, which means, you know, take the ribbon let me chase it around. And it just makes me smile first thing in the morning. That's a great way to start the morning rather than, it's morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so appreciate the joy, appreciate the play. You know, dogs get us out walking. We meet other dogs and dog people, and usually people know the dogs' names and don't know the people's names. So they help us be more social. And so those are some ways. The other is to really pay attention to their nutrition. A lot of people really do not understand how dogs and cats are built to eat and what they need to stay healthy. That is a critical piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. And I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that. But I want to share this quick story because you were making me laugh, you know, how the antics that the animals have. So I have four cats. So our alpha cat, you know, you've met Mystic before,
mm-hmm.
and our little girl kitty Zoe. So we were downstairs, and Mystic was kind of just, you know, meow, 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 and, you know, I'm here. Well, Zoe started playing with him. She was doing a leapfrog over his back. And he'd look around like, hey, what was that? And, you know, so he'd turn around the other way, and she'd do it again. She must have done this for a good 10 minutes. Of course, my husband and I were just, like, practically rolling on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Laughing. It was like the funniest thing we'd ever seen. I've never seen a cat do that before.
That's great.
But, you know, they're just so entertaining. And how you said they're really, you know, so looking out for our well-being and how they hold space.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've noticed. You know, like when we, you know, lots of us have encountered challenging times, you know, the way the world is today.
Mm-hmm.
But I can really sense that my cats are holding space for us.
Oh, that's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely are. And cats are awesome healers. There's a lot that they do to help us balance and recalibrate when we come home and, you know, help us let go the stresses of the day. It's, mm-hmm. you know, dogs do that a little differently. They get us out moving. You know, let's go play. Let's go walk. Let's go to the park. You know, but with cats, it's really, they are very conscious energy workers and absolutely read our energy field and will try to, you know, move stuff out that we don't need and rebalance and recalibrate.
Yes. Yeah, they really are just amazing. Well, it's time to take a break, and I would like to take some callers after the break, and you can ask your questions of Kate. And I wanted to let callers know that Kate is not doing readings today. You could call her to schedule an appointment to do that, or also check her website, which is akinshipwithanimals.com, and we'll be right back after the break.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
To perform at your maximum potential,
you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are talking with Kate Felicity, Animal Communicator. We will be taking callers now, and our first caller is Amber from Broomfield. Hi, Amber.
Hi, Regina.
Hi. What's your question for Kate?
My question is, I had a dog for 6 years, and she was my everything, and she was hit by a car 3 years ago, and I carry a lot of guilt with me, and I was wondering, you know, what are some ways that I could release that guilt or connect with her to, you know, I'll see her, you know, if I'm laying in bed, I feel like I see her walk down the hall, and it's very hard for me to still talk about it. So I was just curious if there's ways that you have helped people that have lost a pet work through that.
Oh, yes, that is a really tough situation, Amber, especially when an animal is killed suddenly like that, and it's very common to think of, I did this wrong, or if I'd done that, or I'd only done this, you know, second-guessing ourselves. And the first thing to know is that once an animal is in spirit, that there is no blame. There is nothing but love and appreciation, if indeed that is how her life was, which it sounded like it was up until then, because mistakes happen and beings do get out. It's in order to work through it, there's a couple of different ways to do that. One of the things I advise my clients is that we do a communication with an animal that has passed on. It is absolutely possible to connect to their spirit as it is to, you know, talk with them in form, because I'm basically connecting to the same part of them, their higher self or their spirit, and to get the closure that you need by talking to them about what happened and what happened to them afterwards, and are they visiting? Because animals will visit us after they pass, for the same reason often humans visit humans. To reassure us, to let us know they're okay, that they're still with us. And so that is one of the best ways I know of, is to actually have a communication with your dog. I usually ask people to wait at least, you know, about a week after the death of an animal to just let the animal rest in that peaceful place. They call it the place of reunification. It's where they go to reunify with unconditional love, with the divine, and just let them rest there. And then after a week or so, we can certainly connect and invite them to share. So that's one way. I do refer people to some books that have been very helpful. There's I wrote a book called Conversations with Dog, and there are some lovely comments from the higher canines about where they go when they die and about our connection. And there's another book called Animals and the Afterlife by Kim Sheridan And that's a lovely book I refer my clients whose animals have recently departed to, many stories of animals doing what your dog has done, you know, showing up, reassuring them, giving them signs, letting them know they're okay. So those are the ways I would work on it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Amber. And we have another caller, Carol from Denver.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
What is your question for Kate?
Kate, I have the most wonderful hound dog in the whole wide world. I have to strongly disagree with you that cats are better than dogs. I love my hound, but I miss her so terribly. I had her for 13 years. She died about 2 years ago. Will she ever come back to me?
That's a really good question, too. And just for the record, cats are not better than dogs. They are so different, and they love us in their very different ways. And I, even though cats often think that they're superior to dogs, I think they all have such beautiful and special qualities, and I wish I had space in my house for dogs, cats, and horses. yes, when it is very interesting, the question about animals reincarnating to be with us. In fact, this is something I've got a book in the works on this topic, because I've had the honor and privilege of facilitating, in a way, or at least being the voice for the process of animals returning to their people in a new puppy or kitten body. And it is an extraordinary journey. And I have learned in that process that many animals have been with us through many lifetimes. In other words, there are groups of animals that incarnate with us throughout our lifetimes, as apparently we do with human beings, that we love and care about and have things to work out with. With animals, as I say, it's often because once we have created that bond of love, that never dies. That's a forever thing.
Wow.
So animals will come back to us if it's in their highest good as well as ours. So if she completed her work with you and has other things to go do, you may not see her in this lifetime. But if she wants to continue and she has, you know, there's a way she can support you differently and, you know, have a different experience in another lifetime with you in this present lifetime, that's very possible.
Uh-huh. Will I know her when she comes back?
Yes. The simple and clear answer is yes. They make themselves recognizable. I have even an experience which just really amazed me of a black and white cat coming back with the exact same markings. That was just blew me away. But dogs will always do something to let you know it's me, and often they will. I have story after story of dogs as new puppies coming home, quote unquote, for the first time, going straight to their toy box that they had before, picking out their favorite toy that they had before, going just right to the bed they always lay on and just, now I'm home. Stories like that of absolutely proving, yep, it's me. and doing things they did before to reassure and prove to us that they are who they were.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, thank you so very much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You very, very much.
You're very
God
welcome.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Okay, those were some good questions. That reincarnation question, that's just pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How the animals will, you know, come back and kind of like, okay, I'm back.
Well, it's true, and I did not start out even thinking about reincarnation or believing. I didn't know anything about it. I was raised Episcopalian. So, mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't part of my understanding. But when I would communicate with animals and they would say, well, last time I was here, blah, blah, blah. And or in this lifetime we had together, this is who I was and what we did and what you learned and what I learned. And, you know, now I'm back to do this. And
mm-hmm.
The person will almost always say, oh, my gosh, I knew that was Spot. I knew that was Fluffy. I just knew it. And I didn't know who else I could say that to. But I was sure. So yes, people really do know, and it's just an extraordinary and miraculous and wonderful experience.
Yeah, it most certainly is. So I wanted to connect back. You had mentioned diet earlier, so I know that you feel strongly about a holistic diet for the animals, and you've written a book about it called Holistic Animal Handbook. Mm-hmm. So could you tell us about the benefits of a holistic diet? And we're going to be getting ready to head to break here in just a minute, Kate. So if we need to break and come back and pick up the conversation, we'll do that.
Okay. Yep. It's kind of a big topic. So you can just stop me when you need to.
Okay.
When Regina is referring to a holistic diet, what I would call that is, first of all, healthy quality ingredients and species specific. Now, what I mean by that is that dogs are classified as carnivores and carrion feeders. They're very close to omnivores, but not really. And again, omnivores don't usually eat old dead stuff. That's the carrion feeder part. So canines are carnivores and carrion feeders, and felines are obligate carnivores, which means they must eat meat. And what's really important here is that dogs and cats, and especially cats, do not thrive on a carbohydrate-based diet. There's just no thriving on grains and too many fruits and vegetables, and they're not designed to be vegetarians, especially cats. Feeding a cat a vegetarian diet is a death sentence, period. It's a death sentence for a cat. And we can talk about dry food and why that, is not appropriate for felines, whereas dogs can have a mixture of dry and wet. Because again, they just have a little fuller spectrum of nutrients that they can gather from different sources, whereas cats are very, very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good spot?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so it's time to take a break, and I'm speaking with Kate Felicity about animals and a healthy diet. You can learn more about Kate's work at akinshipwithanimals.com, and we'll be back after the break.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, voiceamerica.com.
If you're a fan of the Flow Dreaming podcast, or if you're new to the concept of flow, you'll want to check out Summer McStravick's Flow Dream Radio on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. When mind, matter, and spirit work effectively together, we can create and manifest the lives we want according to our will. Summer and her amazing network of guests will help you find how the philosophy of flow can put all the pieces together in your life. Tune in to Summer McStravick's Flow Dream Radio every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave.
The new home for visionary positive change. 7th Wave Network.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or a comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking to animal communicator Kate Felicity about a healthy diet. So, Kate, there's a big, I think, misnomer out there about dry food for cats and dogs, how it's supposed to be really good for them, it's really good for their teeth, but that's not necessarily true, is it?
No, it really isn't. And one thing I do is I just kind of return to nature. You know, instead of looking at all the human experts that think they know everything about everything, I look at how did nature design felines and canines? Well, they certainly didn't, you know, nature did not design cats and dogs to eat dry, hard, carbohydrate-based anything. You know, canines, wolves, foxes, coyotes, they're meant to catch prey and eat it. And they are meant to, you know, bury bones and dig those up and work on their gums and teeth on those bones. And, of course, as pack animals, the wolves and the coyotes bring down bigger prey. But it's all about, you know, their place in the food chain. And all you have to do is look at their teeth to see what that means. Both felines and canines have long, sharp, pointed teeth that are really designed to puncture, tear, and swallow. And canines have a few good molars for chomping down on bigger things, but felines have just a couple of molars, and they're tiny and sharp. There's no flat surface area for grinding hard, dry food. So where does it go? If you've got only sharp, pointy teeth and you have no surface area for grinding, well, when you bite down on that hard food, it has no place to go but cut into your gums and cause a lot of pain. And then if it's carbohydrate, grain-based food, it gets rubbed in there, it turns to sugar, and it's really like, you know, rubbing a cookie on your sore cut gums. That's going to lead to infection and tooth loss and bigger problems. So that's one piece of it. But remember what I said about cats as obligate carnivores. They must eat meat. They are predators, as are canines. But our cats are also descended from a desert-dwelling feline, the African wildcat, that is also not built to drink. Cats do not have a thirst drive like dogs do. So if they're on a dry food diet, they are almost always in a state of chronic dehydration, which leads to organ failure and all kinds of problems. And they also get addicted to those carbs. So it's a really bad problem that shortens the lives of cats to have them on dry food. They must be on a good quality canned food, and that means not too much fish, but also read those ingredients. I can't stress enough the importance of reading and making sure it says chicken, beef, lamb, salmon. It doesn't say byproducts. It doesn't say meat. It actually says what is in the can, and you can read all those ingredients. And as I say, there's, you know, you want to avoid grains with cats. And dogs can handle a little bit, but I also look at breed-specific nutrition. So huskies, malamutes, the northern breeds, they don't have much tolerance for grain, and they don't have much tolerance for chicken. You know, what should they be eating? Well, they need fish like salmon. They need venison and buffalo. And fortunately, today we can get more of those meats. A lot of the, you know, a lot of the poultry that animals eat is also a very poor quality. So it's a very important topic to research because it can add, you know, feeding your animals inappropriately will absolutely take years off their lives, have them, you know, contribute to personality issues and behavior problems and inappropriate elimination and, you know, all kinds of problems. And if you get them on a healthy, holistic, or wholesome diet, that all can change, including their changes in their personalities, because at last they feel good, they feel better, which gets us back to the mission. They can accomplish their mission if they feel good, but if they're constantly depleted, constantly run down, or on a sugar high, they're not going to be able to accomplish what they came here to do.
Mm-hmm. So. And I can certainly agree, because we changed, you know, based on your recommendation, our cats over to canned food from dry. And, you know, they were dehydrated because they drank water all the time, and now that they're on the canned food, they hardly drink any water at all.
And how do their coats look from after that change? Just to look right there, Regina, how did they look?
They're shinier.
Uh-huh. Softer.
And softer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely that's softer.
I love that, because that's a very rapid change you can see mm-hmm. when they start eating more canned food. But it is tough transition cats to a good quality wet food if all they know is dry. So I have a lot of people say, well, they just won't do it. I can't change. I put a can down and they walk away. Well, yes, because you need to transition a cat slowly, and that's what I teach people, how to do that and succeed. But it takes commitment and perseverance because they are definitely creatures of habit and get very attached to the sugar high they get in the carbohydrate-based foods.
Definitely, definitely. So I want to ask one more quick question, because you have talked to wild animals,
uh-huh.
and so I'd like you to share a little bit of what does the eagle want us to know?
The eagle.
Mm-hmm.
The eagle is truly an extraordinary being. Whenever I've had the privilege of connecting with the eagle, there is this incredible sense of expansion. You know, it's as if I can feel that huge wingspan, you know, and this incredible open heart energy just spreading out. And this ability to fly high above the earth. Over and over again, the eagle talks about perspective, talks about seeing the big picture. Eagle energy in Native American teachings always had to do with the Great Spirit, connecting to the Creator. That the eagle is the messenger from the Creator, and often the hawk family will take our messages, our prayers to the Creator, but if the Creator is going to give us a message, it will often come from eagle, which is why eagle is such a sacred bird to many Native cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a tremendous magnificence. So I would say, if I could simplify it, and again, different eagles may have different things to share with us, but the overriding archetypal principle that of the eagles that I've connected with is this idea of perspective, seeing the big picture, always remembering your connection with source, and the clarity that comes from seeing the world from a high place.
That's so wonderful. Well, Kate, it's time for us to wrap up. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing all of your wonderful tips to help us be better guardians and or mom and dads to our pets.
Oh, thank you, Regina. It was my pleasure, and I've so enjoyed it. Thanks to Amber and Carol, too, for calling in, and I look forward to next time.
That sounds just wonderful. For more information on Kate's services, classes, and products, you can go to her website at akinshipwithanimals.com, and you can call Kate at 303-834-9150 or email her at kinshipent, it's K-I-N-S-H-I-P-E-N-T, at earthlake.net for more information. Her information is also posted on my website, which is lifestreamholisticcoaching.com under Shining Bright. So I also wanted to share that I received an email from one of my listeners that I wanted to share with you, which says, I wanted to congratulate you on your first show and the wonderful job you did. Amara was a great first guest, and sharing your personal story can be one of the most effective ways to help people. Love that your show will inspire and provide important spiritual information. Thanks for letting me listen in, Shaya. Thanks so much, Shaya. That's just so sweet. I really appreciate it. If you have any other things you'd like to share with me, please send me an email at shiningbright19@gmail.com. My show next week is called Taming Your Gremlin. Author Rick Carson will talk about his best-selling book, Taming Your Gremlin, and the sequel, Mastering Your Gremlin. As Rick says, there is indeed a gremlin in your head, and he's out to make you miserable. Left to do this thing, he'll zap your health, follow up your relationships, and ruin your disposition. We'll share tools and tips on how to tame your gremlin through raising your awareness and managing your thoughts. This will prove to be a fun and reflective show as we learn how to be gremlin tamers. Join us next week. I'm Regina Sisko, with Shining Bright. From my heart to yours, have a wonderful week.
Thank you again for being part of Shining Bright. Please join your host, Regina Sisko, again next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. This week, take one more step to leading the life that you deserve.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.